How is everyone? Excellent. Bye, children. I feel like I need to gather you closer. There's nothing scary about the front row, I'll tell you that. Just before we get into the message this morning, if you have a Bible and you want to turn somewhere, we're going to be speaking out of Luke chapter 4. But just before we get into that, I do have some news that Don and I would like to share with all of you. When Don and I came here and moved to Melton, we were just sort of in a space where we wanted to be faithful and honor what God was doing in our lives. And God had something on my heart to come alongside and work with the church. And I didn't even know it was going to be in Gisborne. I didn't even know Ken at that stage of the game. And by the grace of God, we were able to come into fellowship and relationship with this church. And it's been a remarkable time for us. But it was always going to be short term. So this message was always coming, and we were always very clear about that. But Don and I, over the last number of months, have been talking through, praying through something that God very clearly spoke to us about where He wants us to be. And God doesn't ever seem to just move in small little ways in our lives. I'm not really sure why, but always generally means moving somewhere. And this is going to mean us moving somewhere else. And so we're going to be moving to Geelong. And we are going to be finishing up here as of October 13th. I know that's not very far away, but I'm going to be working with a church down there in Geelong. And we are selling our house and we are actually moving there. So, yeah, I don't want you to be thinking about that while I'm speaking, but I didn't want to do it at the end and rob what I just spoke about, so I wasn't sure there was a right time to do it, but we would kindly ask that you would pray for us as we step out into this new venture, and understand that our hearts, anytime we go anywhere, our hearts, part of our hearts are always left there. Because I think that's what families like. You know, you can't help but invest your heart. You can't help but love the people. And we have genuinely loved being here and being with you guys. So, so that's the big news that we needed to share with you. And, you know, if you want to talk through a little bit more than that, we would be very happy to do that. Okay? Awesome. Now, let's cast that aside. And let's focus on the Word of God, yeah? So, I don't even need to say that part. Who remembers the song, the B-I-B-L-E? Yes? I know Ken just wants to break out into it right now, but the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. I remember singing it as early as really being able to singing songs in church. I remember that was always part of Sunday school. And memory verse, Bible memory verse was always very much a part of it. And this morning what I want to talk to you about is three of the major areas in your life that the enemy will try and lie to you in. And I'm going to be speaking out of the temptation of Jesus Christ, because I believe that what Satan focused on were three significant major areas of our lives that we are still tempted in today. And there are places that the enemy tries to cripple us so that we can't do the work. Understand that what the enemy's motive is for being interested in us is to stop you from doing what you're born to do. That's his motive. All right? He doesn't get anything else out of it. What he wants to do is stop kingdom work. What he wants to do is cripple the kingdom. All right? Because he's Lord over now all he's ever going to be Lord over. Does that make sense? He has no future. Right? So the present means everything to him, and so he wants to keep and steal away from God what belongs to God. And so when he comes knocking on our door, it's because he wants to rob from you what God has promised for you. And in so doing, he cripples the kingdom, because you have gifts, you have things to offer the church and the world that God uniquely gave and wired into you. Do you believe that? That you have something extraordinary inside of you that God intended for you to gift to the church and to the world. And then the enemy wants to steal that away from you. And I'm going to talk through the three temptations of Jesus Christ, because really the enemy attacks something in Jesus that we still get attacked in all the time. And I think it's really important for us to understand not only the motive, but how Jesus dealt with it. And so, let me paint this picture for you. Who is Jesus? This might be a little bit of a rudimentary kind of a question, but who is Jesus? Okay, Son of God. Yes, good answer. Anything else? Who is Jesus? He's a Son of Man. Who is Jesus? The Christ, the Savior, the Lamb of God, it goes on and on. King of glory, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright and morning star, Counselor, Emmanuel, da-da-da-da. We could go on and on and on, all right? Understand that up until this point in history, Satan had never had an opportunity to do this because of who Jesus is. There was never, ever a point in history where Satan could ever, ever even hope to have victory over Jesus. It's a mismatch. Yes? One is created, one is not. One is cast out, one is seated, like one is God. And so when we see the Holy Spirit leading Jesus, is this? It's making weird noises. It's not you mad, it's me. I could just take it off. Just yell. Anyway, we see Jesus in a moment, because he's been led out, because he hasn't been eating for 40 days. He's weak. God has never been weak. This is a new experience. I don't know if you've ever thought of this, but God, the King of everything, the Creator of all things, is weak because he's taken on human form. All right? He's experiencing weakness. And one of his intentions for even having this experience at all was so that he can relate to me for my benefit, so that he could understand me. That's what it says in Hebrews, right? We do not have a great high priest who cannot understand what we're going through, but in all of our temptations, it specifically says, in all of our temptations, he understands. Because what Jesus was experiencing in this moment was the weakness that we all experience as human beings. And I think it's important for you to understand how important this moment was for Satan, because never before had he ever had even a slim chance or opportunity to cause Jesus to do anything other than the will of the Father. This is it. This is his one chance. And so understand him being a strategic thinker. He would have put a lot of thought into this and very specifically targeted three areas that every human being will be tempted in. And Jesus now understands us so very well, because in his humanity, he was tempted as Satan was putting these things out there. And so I want to talk through the temptations of Jesus Christ. So, what happens when you don't eat for 40 days? You're starved, right? You're dying. Well, literally, after 40 days, you would be probably not too far from being dying, literally. Jesus has gone on this journey. We're not exactly sure what he's doing for these 40 days, but we know that the enemy waits until the end of the 40 days, again, waiting until Jesus is at his weakest point. And what we see is the very first thing that the enemy does in these temptations, or the thing that he attacks, is actually just the flesh, just the humanity of Jesus Christ. Understanding that a human who hasn't eaten for 40 days is probably hungry. And so he, with something very, very seemingly simple, suggests to Jesus that you could turn this stone into bread. Aren't you hungry? These are brownies. I don't know if you've ever had one of these brownies, but these are the brownies that my wife makes. They're like gooey and they taste very nice. They're not gluten-free. They're not vegan. They're just good. Now, whenever these are at my house, and I know that they're at my house, it's really hard. I haven't been fasting for 40 days, all right? So I'm not having that issue. It's just something inside me wants to put that thing in my mouth. Right? Have you had this experience? It might not be brownies. Maybe it's something else for you. But that's just, there's something in my humanity. I can. Therefore, I will. There's something inside me that does, that's the process, right? I can. Surely she wouldn't miss one in the pile. I can do this. It's something that seems really simple, and it's a very human thing to want something in the flesh, and then the battle of whether or not I do that, because I can if I want to. It's something so very basic, but here's what we know. If the enemy succeeds at this level, it's all over. In this little tiny thing, we're talking about changing a rock into bread. Not a big deal. Don't you think that that's not a big deal? And yet, if the enemy can trip Jesus up in this one little tiny thing, it's all over. Remember, the enemy's motivation is to steal away your purpose, to rob you and then rob everybody else of what you're here to do. What's Jesus here to do? He's here to redeem humanity. He's here to pay the price. He's here to do something that has eternal value. He's here to do something significant. You're here to do something significant. And what we do with our humanity, our body, our flesh matters. I don't know. All I know is that I'm not going to use it anymore. Yeah. All right, this is what we see. He's being tempted in the flesh. And so, what does Jesus do as a response to this? Is it on? Yes, it's on. What does Jesus do as a response? We know. Do you know the story? Yes. All Jesus does is he quotes scripture, right? Very, very simple, very plain. So not only is Jesus in a place where he's trying to make himself understand us better than he ever could have up in heaven, he's trying to make sure that he understands humanity in all of our weakness, in all of our temptations. But he's also placing himself as a role model for me.
He's teaching me that even in your weaknesses, you can have victory. Right? Even in your most fragile moments in life, I'm going to teach you a method by which you can have victory. And it's always going to be a battle between a truth and a lie. Always. That's temptation. Temptation is always rooted in a lie. So, let's go back to the brownies. What's the lie? What is the lie of the brownies? Now, I hope you all have one later, just so you know. What's the lie? Okay, one of the lies could be no one will notice. I can get away with this. That's a lie. What else is a lie? What is this brownie telling me that's not true? Exactly. That, that's the lie. The brownie tells us, or in our head, this is all happening in our head. We all know that brownies don't talk, okay? If a brownie's talking to you, something else is wrong in your head. Or something else in the brownie, the first one you had. That this is good. Now, while this might taste good, it lacks almost any health benefit whatsoever for your body. All right, so something in your brain, taste, it's all about the taste. It has nothing to do with nutrition. Right? So the lie that's going on in my head is that I need this. That's a lie. Your body wants it, but it doesn't need it. This is exactly what Satan is tempting Jesus with. He's telling him, your body needs this, but it's not true. And so the truth Jesus speaks back is that I don't live by bread, but by the word of God. Because if there's anything I need, it's the word of God. The healthiest thing, even on a physical level, that I need in my life is the word of God trumps brownies every day. Now, there's something in our heads that's saying, are you sure? I don't know. Because that's the wrestle that we have with our flesh. The lie of what we perceive that we need between what we actually need. Really, this is a want. Yes? It's a want. It's not a need. And while Jesus in his humanity would have wanted bread, the reality was, the truth was, it's not a need. So one of the biggest areas, and this is the first area that Satan attacks, is this whole area of our flesh, our humanity, what the flesh wants. Right? If he can win there, he's got you out of the game. He's happy. But Jesus doesn't crumble. We know the story. It says, then the devil took him up and revealed all of these kingdoms and all that sort of stuff. And the devil said, these are all mine. I can give them to you. You can rule. Now, Jesus had a very unique title, which was the servant of all. I did not come but to serve, not to be served. Now, who is Jesus? Let's remember. Who is Jesus? King of Kings. If there's anyone on the planet who deserves to be in control, deserves to have power, deserves to be recognized, deserves to be served, is Jesus, yes? So, what's the enemy attacking? All right, he's attacking authority, yes. He's attacking actually the call that's on the life of Jesus to be the servant of all. Jesus grew up for 30 years around humanity. You know what you learn in 30 years of growing up around humanity? If I was the King of Kings, I don't know if I want, I don't even like some of these people, right? And they don't even recognize who I am. Do they not see that I spoke the stars into place? I could call down, I am Jesus. And what the enemy is saying, look, almost like I could give you your rightful place, right? I could set you up. I could make you leader over. I could give you authority over, all that sort of stuff. It sounds really nice. And from a very human perspective, if I'm not in a great place and I'm thinking about how people have treated me and I'm thinking about my hurts and all that sort of stuff, it might be nice to be worshipped. I am the King of Kings anyway, right? The Lord of Lords. But what Satan is offering him is nothing compared to what he has. Because what he's doing and where he is, and even in his weakness, he is still the King of Kings. Yes? He's still the Lord of Lords. He's still the lamb who needed to be slain. He is still all of these things. But the enemy is trying to remind him, hey, you're not there right now. You're not feeling that right now. Right now, you're in amongst the dirt of humanity. Right now, you're not feeling at the top of your game. Wouldn't it feel better if you had a little bit of what you had? Wouldn't that feel better? And really, this is the battle between my will and God's will, which Satan will want to attack. Doesn't it feel nice sometimes when you're not feeling great to get what you deserve? I rarely splurge on myself. And people aren't very nice and all that sort of stuff. It's a temptation for us to put my will over the will of everybody else, to make me in charge, to give me control, to give me power. And this is what Satan seems to be offering to Jesus Christ. But it's not true. Yes, Satan was the prince of this world. But kingdoms rise and fall under who? God, I think. God. Even in what he's saying, it's not true. All these things are not even really his to offer. But what he's speaking to is, Jesus, what do you want? Okay, we know what God wants, but what do you want? Wouldn't it be nice to get what you want? And again, Jesus has this simple, simple response. You must worship the Lord God and serve him only. When the time comes, and this will come to all of us, when the temptation to do what I want to do, it would be nice to be in control. It would be nice for me to be calling the shots. It would be nice for me to get the recognition that I deserve. When that moment comes for your life, what Satan is trying to steal away from you is what in God already belongs to you. And more. Because in God, who are you? You're a co-heir with Jesus, are you not? You are entitled to the kingdom. As an inheritance, you have the kingdom to look forward to. You have eternity to look forward to. You have all of these wonderful things to look forward to. And yes, in the moment, maybe there's hurt in the moment. Maybe you don't see how all this can get good. And this is when the enemy has an opportunity to tempt you. In your weakness, he will come and say, how about your will for a change? And Jesus gives us the only thing that we should say in that moment, and that is, oh no, I should only worship God and serve Him. Because that's where real joy is found. Not in my will, but His will being done. That's where fulfillment is found. That's where purpose is found. That's where my call will be found. And can I tell you that if you make a choice with your life to pursue the call of God, there will be lots of moments that will come where you will feel like giving it away, where you will feel like something is better. You will feel like trading it in. The moments will come. And in those moments, you must have the ammunition in you. You must have the Word of God in you to be able to say, no, no. I know that the greatest joy of my life will always be found, my greatest purpose in worshiping God and serving Him only, not serving myself. That's a tough one. All right, but again, Jesus, knowing us, is being tempted in all of these same ways that we are often tempted. And He gives us a way out. The last one that we see the devil attacking is really what I would say would be the identity. Identity is a big thing. All right? Especially in the day and age that we live in, people struggle with who they are. And it's interesting that Satan starts this one off by, if you are the Son of God. There's the lie. All right? What we would know, again, Jesus is at the end of fasting for 40 days. He would not be feeling very strong. He would not be feeling very mighty. He would not be feeling those things. And so for the enemy to come in and say, if you are the Son of God, it's almost like I can't believe that he just said that to Jesus. But here's what we doubt. In our weakness, we doubt who we are. In our weaknesses, when our weaknesses are strong inside of us, we have a very hard time seeing what God sees in us. All we see is what's in the mirror. And that's not great. It's not strong. Maybe we've made some poor choices, all that sort of stuff. We're not thinking conqueror. We're not thinking mighty man of valor. We're not thinking champion of Jesus Christ, all that sort of stuff. What we're thinking about ourselves is very low. And Satan would come into our lives in those moments and would say, if you are a child of God, and already, when we're not in a good headspace, he's pretty much got us. He's got us questioning our identity in who we are in God. And this is Jesus in this space is being challenged in his very identity. And you think this is crazy that Satan would try and challenge this, but he was fully human. He wasn't feeling very awesome at that moment. And if you are the Son of God, let's see a big show of power. Come on. Prove to me who you say that you are. And here's what happens when we're having an identity problem. We begin to try and prove ourselves to people that don't matter. We try and validate ourselves in the eyes of people that don't matter. As if Jesus had to validate himself before Satan. Had to validate who he was. Had to back up. I am the Son of God. You want to see something powerful? Oh, that's it. What we never see Jesus doing is responding to Satan with a show of force or a show of miraculous power. Now, he could have. He could have destroyed Satan. But we never see him doing that. One of the reasons why we never see him doing that is because he wanted to show us you don't need a show of power to defeat this guy. You don't need to pray for a miracle to defeat Satan. Because there's one thing that will defeat Satan every single time, and that's the truth. The truth will always defeat Satan. Always. He has no response for the truth. He has no retort. He has no comeback. He's got nothing. He just has to accept the truth for what it is and try again. That's it. And so in this last one, I believe that Satan is really trying to challenge the identity of who Jesus is. And you're in this moment of weakness and you're feeling a lot human and not very divine after 40 days of fasting. And Jesus simply responds, "You must not put the Lord your God to the test." You don't need to prove to anybody who you are, because he has already told you who you are. You don't need to prove that to your family. You don't need to prove it to your friends. You don't need to prove it to your coworkers. You don't have to go out of your way to prove yourself to be something. The Bible is very, very clear about who you are. I don't need to test God on this, because he already said, "I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who he says I am." Now, when I don't feel great, that's a faith statement. You understand that? I'm not feeling like that, but it's still true. When I'm not feeling great, I have to stand on the promises of God, because I'm struggling to believe it. But if God says it's true, then it's true. And I'm just going to stand on that. And I'm going to keep standing on that until it becomes rooted deeply inside of me. I'm not going to allow other people to define who I am. I'm not going to let the comments of other people define who I am. I'm not going to let Satan tempt me to go down that road where I'm trying to prove that I am who God says I am. I don't have to prove it, because he already said it. Even while I was his enemy, he proved it. But understand that there's a big gap between knowing that and believing that, yeah? Knowing that and living that out. Knowing all of our weaknesses and still believing in faith that I'm called to great purpose. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Sometimes. You know, it's not about being arrogant. When I think about the mistakes that I've made, the things that I've done, it's hard for me to believe that God wants me on team. Yes? That he wants to still use me, that he still has great plans for me, that I haven't disqualified myself. All that, it is very hard for me to believe. But the Bible says, and this is where we have to keep coming back. Jesus kept coming back just to the Bible. And all that matters is what the Bible says, because what the Bible says is what God says, and what God says is true. And all the universe gets it. All the universe responds to it. But for us, it's faith that we must engage in our weakest moments. Because what this story tells us is that if we can engage with faith in the truth, we can overcome the world. We can overcome. You can live in freedom. You know that freedom that Darren was talking about that was bought at such a high price? I can live in that freedom if I will stand on the Word of God. When the moments come, when the temptations come, all I've got is not, "Well, I read that Rick Warren book. And so I'm going to start quoting that to the enemy. The enemy does not care about Rick Warren. This is not a slight against Rick Warren, obviously, but or anybody. Don't quote Donald Trump. Don't quote anybody. That's not going to help you. What you must be able to do in those moments of weakness is, A, be able to recognize the lie for what it is. If you can't get there in your head, you don't even know what truth to access. Am I right? If you don't recognize the brownie for what it is, you don't even know what to speak to the brownie. Eve did not recognize the lie for what it was. She didn't, nor did Adam. You see, this is where temptation becomes so dangerous, is if I'm not standing on the Word of God, if I'm not close to Him like I should be, then I won't recognize the lie when it comes. I won't recognize it as temptation when it comes, and I will have no truth then to combat it with. And this is the daily thing of Christianity. You know, I remember in Sunday school, we used to get stars for remembering scriptures. Anybody remember that? I would love to say I really caught on to that as a young child and continued every week memorizing a scripture for the rest of my days. Wouldn't that be great? I haven't. Just so you all know, and you're all don't think that I'm any holier than you are. I didn't. But what I've learned in life is my wisdom not great. I've eaten a lot of brownies. In fact, I had one yesterday. I'm just being very open and honest with you. We all have failed and fallen short of the glory of God. The good news is that God put something in the bank for that. When He died on the cross, His grace is still abounding. Because we've fallen, we've been tempted, and man, have we made mistakes. But our challenge this morning is, what are we going to do so that we can recognize the enemy when he comes? He is not a lion. He is like a lion. There's only one lion in the Bible. Yes, the Lion of Judah. All the enemy can try and do is be like him. And we should know the difference. Yes, we should be able to recognize the difference and understand that the enemy is not going to blatantly try and trick you with some big fabrication. He's going to just twist it a little bit. And if I'm not tuned into the Word of God, and it's the Word of God that will tune me in, it's not prayer that I need in that moment. It's the Bible. What should Eve immediately have shot back at the serpent? What should she have said? Yes. What you're saying is not true. Because God's given us all this. But we're never going to eat of that. She didn't see it. She didn't pick up on it. And that's what happens. And these people were pretty close to God, no? They were pretty close to God. Our challenge, your challenge, my challenge on a daily basis is to know the Word of God well enough that we can recognize the temptation when it comes. And understand this, my friends. The Holy Spirit will lead us into seasons of testing. Seasons of testing. It's the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness. Yes? That's what it says. All right? This was a significant moment. Jesus was about to start something huge. He's about to change the world. This is why sometimes we are refined by fire. Who likes being thrown in the fire? No. Yesterday I had a run-in with the weed trimmer in my leg. Boy, did that hurt. The refining fires that the Holy Spirit leads us into from time to time are not fun. But they're always for a reason. It's because he wants to take us into another season of doing kingdom work of greatness. And he wants us to be refined so that we're ready to give what we need to give in that season. God is always interested in our maturity. He's always interested in our growth. He's always interested in not us staying the same, but taking us somewhere where we've not been before. That's the love of God. It's not fun, though. And this is why we must have this constant routine in our lives, where we know the Word of God, where we stand on the Word of God, because temptation's coming. Because the enemy is strategic, and he hasn't forgotten about you, just so you know. Because you've got great things to do. Never doubt it. You've got great things to do. You've got people's lives to impact. You've got gifts that God has uniquely given you to offer to build other people up. You have great things to be doing. Do not let the enemy of your soul ever convince you otherwise. Because if he convinces you it's not true, he doesn't have to worry about you anymore. Because you're already on the sidelines. My encouragement to you this morning. I hope you all do have a brownie. They're very, very nice. But is to just know your word. It's not any more flash than that. And it's a message that I've literally been hearing my whole entire Christian life. The model that Jesus gives us when it comes to combating the enemy is the truth. It's just the Bible. However you choose to read it. Just get into it. Just know it. So that when the enemy comes, you can see him for who he is and then respond accordingly. That's the model. Jesus knew who it was who was tempting him. And responded accordingly. And didn't give him anything more than that. And that was all he needed to win. Yeah? Does that make sense? Do not let the enemy rob you or tempt you in your humanity. Don't let him rob you or tempt you in your call. Don't let him rob or tempt you in your identity. He will keep trying, I promise. But Jesus has overcome the world. Come on. Amen? He is now seated, not overseeing some kingdoms, but at the right hand of the Father, where he belongs, overseeing it all. Amen? Can we stand together, please? Thank you, Lord God. I want to start as we pray. I just want to create an opportunity. If you're here this morning, and you've made some poor choices. Sometimes when we're hearing messages like this, all we can think about is the bad choices we're making or that we've made. And guilt and shame often come in pretty quick. Can I just create a space this morning, if that's you, And maybe you've not made some great choices and you've given in to temptation. Well, welcome to the club. We've all done it, but God doesn't want you to stay there. Jesus Christ paid a great price on the cross so that you could know forgiveness and wholeness and freedom. And if you're here this morning and you're just wrestling and struggling with the sin that you've done, I just want to create a space where we can just say, God, forgive me for the many mistakes that we've made. For the times I've allowed the enemy to win, for the times I've not recognized the temptation for what it was, and I believed a lie instead of the truth of God. Forgive us, Lord God. But as of today, we not only have heard the truth of Scripture, but we choose truth over the lie. And God, I pray if there's anyone here this morning who's wrestling in any of these areas, I pray that they will be leaving this place this morning feeling like they've got some ammunition to go into battle with. That not only are they not alone, but God, you've given us all that we need to combat the enemy of our souls. That's why we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities. It's the enemy that wants to destroy us. Yes, you may be struggling in your relationship, but that's not them. That's the enemy trying to get you. And so get into your word. Find the truth there to speak life into those situations. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's something private. Whatever it is, get into your word. Find the truth to speak light into dark places, to speak life where there's death, and to believe for restoration, redemption, all those wonderful restorative things you've promised us, Lord God. The commitment that we make today, like that old song said, that we will stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. God, I pray that all of us would make a choice today to once again become students of your word, to love it, to cherish it, to hold it close to our hearts so that we might not sin against you, Lord God, as the psalmist so lovely put it. Help us to take this seriously once more this morning, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Is that good?